It's all about you,
you to just raise your hands right where you are. Father, you said in your word that one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Well, Lord, we may be small in number for right now, Father God, but when you take our faith plus your power and plus your word, it's life-changing. Father, right now, we lift up every house of worship tonight, Father God, every place where people are coming together in your name. We plead the blood over those places. We plead the anointing over those places. We plead your grace and your mercy over everybody that's represented there, Father God, that lives will be changed, Father God. Father, we pray over our schools, Father God, every school building, Father God. We pray a hedge of protection around that not one gunman, be it child or be it adult, will be able to cause harm to any student there, Father God. We pray that those houses, those schools will become places where our children will learn what they need, Father God, and that they will be able to receive, that the teachers will teach, Father God. They will have a heart for the children. Father, we pray for our jobs, Father God, every building where we work at, Father God. Father, we pray a hedge of protection around them that no lone gunman, no upset former worker would be able to cause harm in that place, Father God. Father, we pray that as we stand at our jobs, Father God, we represent you and that we honor you and we give you glory in how we do our jobs, Father God. And Father, that we represent you well. Father, we pray for our families, Father God. Our families all around this country and all around the world, Father God. Father, we pray for our lost. We pray for our children that may seem to be on the wrong way, Father God. We are standing in agreement, Father God, that when we put our faith together, Father God, our prodigals are coming home. Our prodigals are coming home on fire like they've never been before. Our marriages are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Our bodies are being healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Father God. Father, we lift up our pastor, Father God, our pastors, as they are out, Father God, celebrating their anniversary, Father God. We just thank you that they're able to get away, Father God, and we just are believing that it is going to be a time filled with peace, joy, refreshing, Father God, that they are going to be restored, Father God, and renewed. They're going to come back with a fire and a passion, Father God, that their marriage is going to be even stronger, Father God. They're going to be better parents, Father God. They're going to be better shepherds, Father. And Father, we just thank you that you have called us here to this place on this night, Father God. Father, we know that we may have had rough days, Father God. We may not have been the best of days, Father God, but we know that anytime we get to come into your presence, anytime we get to come into your house, we can leave it all at the altar, Father God, and just be refreshed. Again, I pray for every person here, Father God, on top of the head of the soles of their feet, whole, healed, refreshed, renewed, wisdom, fresh thinking, bright ideas. They will believe what you have for them. They will speak what you have for them, and they will go forth in the calling that you have placed upon them. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you and we praise you in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power and not let the lost get left. Amen. You may be seated. Young people, I apologize to you now that you are stuck in here with the old guy and the adults. I promise I'll try not to keep you past midnight because I know you have school tomorrow. So, amen. So, when I was given this assignment, I asked the Lord what he would have me wanted to speak on. And he gave me this title, Believe, Speak, and Go. You need to believe first, speak second, and then go forth. My statement is quoting the old school prophet Chris Tucker from Fridays, kind of paraphrasing. What are the words coming out of my mouth? What are the words that you speak out of your mouth about yourself? So we need a starting place. We have every place when you get ready to go someplace, you before you do anything, you need a starting point. So our starting point is going to be Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. This will be in the New King James Version. If you have a different version, it will sound a little different, but we'll get to the same place. Amen. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That means that we're all created together. There is no male better than female or no female better than male. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Father God, we just thank you right now. Have your way, Father God. Let my words speak the message that you would have, and let everyone in here be changed. We pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Praying rocks. Yes, 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 yes. So, as I said, what is it that you are saying to yourself about yourself? If anybody's going to say something good about you, it should be you. But are we really doing that? When we get up and we look in the mirror in the morning, as a young person, I'm sure you get up and look in the mirror and go, man, I just look good. Look at me. The hair is done. In faith. The hair is done. The hair, yeah, yeah, I've got my cool clothes on. I look good. When you get a little older, you try to pull the stomach in. You on faith say, got a six pack, just covered by a layer of fat, but it's there. Or do you look at yourself, I'm fat, I'm ugly, nobody likes me, I hate my job, I hate my husband, I hate my wife, I hate my mom, I hate my dad, I hate my mom and my dad, let's just be honest. What are we saying to ourselves when we're starting our day off? Like, who do we say we are? Are we great in God? Or am I great because I go to Pflugerville or Round Rock or Georgetown or whatever that may be? Am I great because I work at Dell? Am I great because I work at Apple? Am I great because I work at NGAHR? Because that's where I work and I know I'm great. But, you know, what are we saying about ourselves? When you're faced with adversity, are you speaking according to your circumstances? Young people, when you wake up tomorrow and you have that test that you know you ain't studied a bit for. You were drawing and doodling when they were going over it in class. Not y'all. Man, I'm thinking about me when I was that age. Are you confessing that God's going to bring to my remembrance what was said that I wasn't paying attention to? Or are you confessing I'm going to fail, it's enough? I've got enough. I'm grounded. I'm not going to have the car. I'm not going to be able to go out. I'm not going to be able to go eat at my favorite place. Because you know you live what you truly believe about yourself. So, again, we want to set a foundation. So in verse 26, he said he made man, each one of us, man, male, female, in his image and in his likeness. There is no higher creation than his image and his likeness. So the first thing you should be telling yourself every day, all day, I don't care about that pimple that showed up here. Don't care about the cold sore that was here. Don't care about the hair color that just ain't quite right. Don't care about the curl that just didn't quite roll over like it was supposed to. I don't care if your friends have Nike and you got Dollar Tree. I don't care what that is. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. It don't matter whether you light-skinned, dark-skinned. It don't matter if you have any so-called earthly flaws. You are created in the image and likeness of God. And then he says in verse 28, then God blessed them. Come on now. He made you in his image, in his likeness, and then he blessed you. That's a recipe right there. That's the best German chocolate cake you ever had, just based on those ingredients right there. That's what you need to be confessing to yourself every day. Are you speaking that truth over yourself? Now, in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, he gives you the gifts of the Spirit. And just for the sake of our discussion, those gifts are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You are a patient person. Stop telling yourself you're not. You are kind. Stop telling yourself you're not. Stop looking in the mirror, frowned up with tears rolling down your face, and tell yourself you have joy. Tell yourself you have peace. It don't matter what's going on. It don't matter if it's finals and you ain't studied. You still have peace because God's going to give you what you need. You are faithful. You are gentle. You have self-control. You can control your mouth. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You ain't got to say everything that pops into your head. And if you need a little help, Jesus help me before it ever come out. You know, I was really about to, Jesus help me. You just got, Jesus help me. You know what? You just stepped up. I am made in the likeness and the image of God, and he blessed me. I don't have to go there. I don't have to stoop down. You may want to ride in the basement. I'm not riding in the basement. I'm riding in the penthouse. What does your YouTube channel say about you? What are some examples that the Word of God gives us to teach us how to walk in that area? I am so glad you asked. That's awesome, man. Y'all right in with me. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Verses 16 through 18. Pastor and I have trouble reading verse 16. I'm going to try to get through the verse and read it the way it's written, because there's a black man growing up in the church, Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro is how I always heard it said. But that's not his name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you." Let's stop right there. When your accusers are saying negative things about you, remember what they said to the king. "I don't need to defend myself with you." Let me translate that for you. "I don't care what you think. My father said he made me in my likeness and in his image, and he blessed me. So it don't matter that you don't like me. That's a you problem. That's a your loss. But you know what? Because I'm my father's child, I'm going to pray for you that you get delivered. But I'm not stooping down there where you are. No, sir, no, ma'am." Verse 17. In the Donnie translation, "Look here, king, if we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power and your majesty." But here's the good one, Paul, verse 18. "But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up." Donnie translation. "I ain't doing what you want me to do because God don't get glory from it. I know God has better for me. But even if today it don't show up, I will not bow down and worship your mess. I will not speak your mess. I will not talk your mess. You keep your joint. You keep your 40. You keep your sex. You keep your club. I don't need your club to dance. I can go home and dance by myself with holy music." Don't know who that was for, but hey. Now think about that. Again, they were about to be cast in the furnace. The world that we live in would say, "Look, bruh, you done got yourself in trouble. You done took this God thing a little too far. Beg for forgiveness. Lie to the king. Bow down and live to fight another day." It's just a little lie. It's just a little lie. Nobody's gonna know. He knows. We want to make sure we honor him with our words And we don't tell white lies or green lies or blue lies or purple lies. That's not how we roll. We speak the truth to our circumstances, and the truth starts with his word. I am made in his likeness and image, and he blessed me. Another word for that would be compromise. But our boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were determined. They were bold. They were going to stand with God and just let the chips fall where they may. And if you keep reading on down, you get where the king looks in the furnace, and he threw three in, and they were bound. But when he looks in the furnace, there are four. They are not bound. And then when he tells his people to get them out, he brings the three boys out, and they don't even smell like smoke. Now, those of you who have been around a barbecue in a time or two, y'all know, Mr. Fred, you know, when you rocking the grill and you got them burgers and that brisket, you just got it popping, when you come from out there, you got a little smell on you. You kind of smell like your charcoal or whatever your seasoning is. These boys was in the middle of the furnace, and they didn't smell. Why? Because they were made in the image and likeness of God, and they stood on God's word regardless of the circumstances. Now, I know what you're saying. I know. You're saying, look, dude, ain't nobody going to throw me in no furnace. And I'm with you, because if somebody tried to throw me in a furnace, I may be handicapped, but I promise you I'm swinging a cane. I'm just saying. Somebody getting hit upside the head. I'm saying. But let me see if I can hit you where you are. What if you're single and you're feeling lonely? And everybody else seems to be having fun, seems to be having a good time. And you are presented with an offer. Girl, dude, let's go hang out at the club. Let's go get our drink on. Let's get our party on. And let's see what we can pick up. In case you didn't know, there is nothing in the Bible that says that's the way to roll. God has a mate for you. If you are a lady, he says he who finds a wife, not she who finds a husband. If you're a guy, you're following God's lead, and he's going to lead you to the right one. Now, you can't have Miss Pamela. She's already taken. I found a wife. I found a good one. So you can't have her. Sorry, just can't. Milton's not going to let you have Margina. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Scotty will get off his truck wherever he may be right now. He will get out of his truck, and he will come get his stuff. But when you're faced with that circumstance, instead of following along, what if you said, I'm believing God for my mate in his timing, so I'm going to stay at home and pray. And then take it another level. And even if my mate don't appear when I think they should, I'm going to remain pure, and I'm going to honor God. What if that was your confession? Again, remember, you're made in his image. Well, brother, pastor, I'm married, and I don't think I got the right one. Okay, all right. There are times. Just look at me. Don't admit it. There are times when you think maybe I didn't get the right one. There are times. But what if your confession was, Father, I know I got the right one because you gave them to me. And even though things ain't going like I want them to, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe they're the problems, but I know you're going to fix it. So I ain't going out trying to find nothing else. I ain't going out entertaining other spirits. I'm staying at home where I belong, and I'm going to work on this I got. Because I want to honor God more than my feelings about being lonely, or my feelings about not being appreciated, or my feelings about they don't respect me. Because most of the time they really do. You just having a pity party. You just feeling bad because your little feelings got hurt. They told you that when you woke up, your breath did not smell well. And you thought, how dare they tell you that? Even though you did this and went, Jesus, where's the scope? And then you have a pity party and you roll with those feelings and you allow the emotions to take control of you other than allowing God to lead you. Remember, he orders our steps. God is not a collaborator. God is not sitting on his throne and you going to him and going, well, you know, Lord, I got a plan. I'm going to be an NFL football player and I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and God bless it for me. No, that's not the way he rolls, which is nothing wrong with being an NFL football player. But God wants to lead you to the place, not have you try to drag him kicking and screaming. Because I promise you, no matter how big and bad you think you are, God can't be dragged. Just saying. So, we want to make sure that our confession is lining up with the word. Well, that's just one thing. Let's look at another one. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17. Just want to be in the God's Words translation. This is my dude, David. I love my dude, David, because, first of all, nobody liked David. His daddy didn't like him. His brothers didn't like him. Nobody liked, dude, go keep the sheep. And you stink like the sheep, so you gotta stay out there with the sheep. When the prophet came to anoint the new king, his father thought so much of him, he forgot to call him. He called his other brothers, and the prophet went, nope, 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 nope. Do you have another one? Oh, yeah, I got another son. But he out with the sheep. Surely you don't want him. But that's the one God called to be king, but that's something else. Don't want to get sidetracked with it. So, verse 45, David told the Philistine, this is the story of David and Goliath. Goliath has come out, and he's talking mess. He's telling David, am I a dog that you come out at me? Now, if you've ever been in a fight before and your opponent is bigger, stronger than you, and they look down at you and tell you, am I a dog? You in trouble. Just say it in the natural. You in trouble. Because what he just said to you was, I am going to beat you down because you are wasting my time. Now, David could have been the guy, you know what? I'm a shepherd. I ain't even got nothing to do with it. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to sit down and shut up and let somebody else take this beat. No, I'm not taking this. But look what my man Dave said. David told the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have insulted. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not when I feel like it. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down, and I will cut your head off. This day, I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animal. The whole world will know that Israel has a God. Then everyone gathered here will know that the Lord can save without a sword or without a spear, because the Lord determines every battle's outcome. He will hand all of you over to us. Okay, wow. David said, I know what my circumstances look like, but I know my God. So when you're faced with a storm, when you're faced with a challenge, when you're faced with a situation that seems too big. Oh, my God is able. My God is bigger than any circumstance that you're going through. And because my God called me here, my God said that I was going to be in this school on this day, in this year, I already have the victory because God has already worked it out. Again, I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to do anything. I just let God lead the way. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Young people, you ain't got to be strengthened in the latest Drake song. You ain't got to be strengthened in the latest YouTube video or the latest TV show. I love Black Panther. I thought Black Panther was an awesome movie. Go see it again. Go give him my $28 again. Don't judge me. But my faith ain't in Black Panther as awesome as he was. My faith is in God. I don't need an Avenger to fight my battle. I don't need Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. I don't need to be Flash to run away. I don't need Cyborg to put me some extra machines on to fight. I got everything I need right here, the Spirit of the Living God. I will cut your head off. Tell somebody that tomorrow at school and see how that works for you. Nah, time out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because then your parents will be coming up to me on Sunday. My kid got kicked out of class because you told him to tell somebody to cut their head off. Think it. Think it. Spiritually, God's going to cut your head off if you keep messing with me. Spiritually. All right, let's look at another one. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Again, God's Word translation. Now, we're looking here into the promised land. The children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt after 400 years. They have been led out of Egypt. The Egyptians gave them their gold and silver to take with. The Israelites did not fight, but yet the Egyptians was like, here, take this. You can have this. You can have all my stuff. Just take all my stuff and leave. Just leave. They go out in the wilderness. They've seen God do the 10 plagues. They've seen God move. And then they get in the wilderness, and they get out there, and they get cornered between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, and they forget. And then God moves. Parts the Red Sea, they walk across, the Egyptian army comes, they walk in, the sea crosses down, kills all the Egyptian army. Pharaoh's the only one that survived. Yay, God! And then the next storm comes, and they forget. But then they make it to the doorway of the promised land, and 12 spies get sent into the promised land to see what's going on. Now, I want you to remember this key. God has already said the promised land was theirs. He's already said he's going to be with them. Whatever you do, when you get up in the morning, God is with you. He's already given you a victory. No matter what the day looks like, no matter what the circumstance looks like, don't forget it. But I digress. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We got 12 spies. They went, they looked into the promised land, and look what they did. This is what they reported to Moses. We went to the land where you sent us. It really is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit. We went where you sent us. Look at this stuff. Look at these bananas. Look at these apples. Look at these watermelons. I'm black, what can I say? Watermelons, that's what I'm talking about. Look at these big melons, man. This is great. But the people who live there are strong. And the cities have walls and are very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Time out. Only a few days ago, God parted the Red Sea. Why are we worried about some large people? Shaq can't do nothing against God. Large people. I don't care about nobody being large. Verse 29. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all mites live in the mountain region. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan River. People, people, people. Everybody against us. Everybody big. Everybody. One scripture says we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Again. I parted the Red Sea. But my man Caleb, 2 million Egyptians, I mean 2 million Israelites, adults, left Egypt. Only two adults ever made it to the Promised Land. One of them was Caleb. Let me show you why Caleb made it to the Promised Land. Caleb told the people, shut up. Well, it says to be quiet. That's my version. Shut up and listen to Moses. Caleb said, let's go now and take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it. I don't care about people. I don't care about how big they are. I don't care about tests. I don't care if my teacher likes me or don't like me. I don't care if my coach likes me or don't like me. I don't care if my boss likes me or don't like me. I don't care about any of that. God ordained that I'm going to be here. God said I'll be successful. I will be the best player on the team, even if nobody knows it but me. I will get straight A's, even if I can't count 2 + 2 = 5. I know it's 4. I'm making a point. Even if I can't retain dates, when I sit down to take the test, those dates are just going to pop. Just going to come. Just going to come. Just going to come. I don't care if I don't have no letters after my name. I don't care if I don't have no MBs and DDs and all them other things. I got JESUS. I got GOD. I got Holy and Ghost. I don't need them other things. Not that there's anything wrong with them. Work your education as long as God tells you to work it. There's nothing wrong with DDs and BBs and all of them. What I'm saying is don't let them take the place of the GOD. Again, God told them to possess the land. He told them he was with them, but they forgot because of some large people. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan for you. Do you remember? Do you remember that God has a plan for you? Well, Pastor, I don't know what that plan is. If you don't know the details, you still know he has a plan. Stand on that. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but I know I'm going to be whatever God has for me. I may have... Older people will get this reference. If you watch Bugs Bunny as a kid, he used to pop up out of the hole, and he'd look around and go, I knew I should have made that left turn in Albuquerque. Maybe you made a wrong turn. I'm the king of wrong turns, let me tell you. People who knew me, that if they even thought I was standing in a pulpit somewhere, would laugh hysterically. Because I made a lot of bad turns. I said a lot of bad things about me. Oh, but when I got a hold of that truth, it don't matter what people think about me. It don't matter what I used to be. I have been delivered. I have been set free. Again, it's the G-O-D. It's the Holy and the Ghost. It's Jesus, not still on the cross. It's Jesus got on the cross, got in the grave, stood up, walked back to heaven. Don't forget that God has a plan. What promotion do you have that you ain't even applying for because you don't think you qualify? There's a joke that goes around where, and I'm going to butcher it, but basically the premise of the joke is a man's in the middle of the water and he's drowning, and he's saying, I'm believing God's going to save me, and a boat shows up and says, I'm here to help you. He said, no, I'm waiting on God. And then a helicopter shows up, and he says, no, I'm waiting on God. And then something else shows up. He says, no, I'm waiting on God. And then he drowns. And then he goes to heaven, and he says, God, where were you? He said, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. What's up? He may not come the way you think he's going to come. He may not do it the way it makes sense to you. I know, most of you weren't born then. Ask your grandparents about it. It really was a year. So I left Arkansas. That's a state next to Texas. I know y'all don't believe in it, but there is really a state up there called Arkansas. And people do actually wear shoes up there. I did have shoes when I was a kid. We're not hillbillies. Well, some of us aren't. But I came to Dallas to go to school. And I made a really bad left turn, and I dropped out of school. But I knew, and this is pre-Jesus, I knew something about Texas. I wanted to come back. Now, in my mind, I wanted to come back to Dallas. I was 19 when I left and went back home. 25 years later, God brought me to Texas, but not Dallas. I had opportunities along the way to come back to Dallas. I was working in Detroit, and the job I was working for, they begged me, because of my skill set, come to Dallas and run our data center. But I made another left turn. I was in love with the wrong person, and I didn't leave. But 25 years later, God brought me back when I was supposed to come back, because I had Miss Pamela. Again, you can't have her. She's mine. And I had my girls because I had a little brother that I needed to meet in October of 2006 that was going to make fun of me and my handicap and hurt my little feelings, but then become my little brother. I love him like a little brother. To get me here so that we could be where we were supposed to be. But it took 25 years of going in figure eights and circles. 25 years ago, I could have ran with Pastor around the building. You were 25 years ago, you were bigger than me. Even though I'm taller than you, you weighed more than I did. I was 6'2", 129 pounds. But it wasn't about whether I could run. It was about the G-O-D. Why are you telling me this story? I don't know. I just like talking about myself. No, I'm telling you this story because I want you to understand that it may not work out the way you think it will work out right now, but never lose faith in God. And I promise you, what I've been through in the last 11 years of being here in Austin are greater than anything I thought about 25 years ago. So, what promotion are you hiding from? What book do you need to write? Dude, do you not understand? I can't speak English, Spanish, Spanglish. I can't speak none of that. How am I going to write a book? G-O-D. What invention you got? What recipe you got? What business you got that God done gave you, but you weren't walking in it because you're afraid? Maybe there's a home out there for you, but you want to live in a duplex because you can't believe. There is nothing wrong with a duplex. I'm just saying God has better. Make sure you're in his better, not in your fear. Why are you driving a 2000 Toyota with Bondo all over when God has a 2018 ready for you? I'm not talking about me because I'm trying to brag on me. I'm talking about me because I know me. That car right out there, that black Equinox, 2016. I'm just going to be honest with you. There is no way this side of heaven we should have that car. When we got that car, our own credit report laughed at us. We showed up because God sent somebody to us. We walked in, They did not take our pay stubs. They didn't ask for any bank information as far as like documentation. He just said, what do you want? She goes, I want an SUV. I want it to have a rear camera. And he's like, okay, now we stayed there all day. We got there at 9, we left at 6. Howsoever, Holmeses, can you come in, please? Just need you to sign this. How much are you going to put down? I got nothing, man. I might be able to put $1,000 down in 2 weeks. Okay, write a check. Here's your keys. Go for it. Come on, let's get out of here before they figure everything out. To paraphrase my boy Caleb, God and I got this. Let's go. Make sure you put God first, though. Not you and God. God and you. Okay, last scripture. We're almost done. I know you're thinking, you're saying, well, you know, Pastor, that's all well and good, and you got some great Old Testament scriptures, and that's all well and wonderful, but God doesn't care about my day-to-day. He's got bigger fish to fry. Huh, I'm so glad you think that. We're going to shoot that down real quick. Mark chapter 11. This is the AMPC translation. It's the Superfied Amplified. Verse 22 says, and Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God constantly. Have faith in God constantly. But have faith in God constantly. But I don't feel it. Have faith in God constantly. But it don't look. Have faith in God constantly. But everybody talking about me. Have faith in God constantly. Even my own family don't believe in me. Have faith in God constantly. Maybe the church folk don't believe in me. Have faith in God constantly. But I didn't study last night for that test. Have faith in God constantly. But I can't play basketball. Have faith in God constantly. Whatever the obstacle is, have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all, there is a requirement. Don't doubt at all. I know what it looks like, but I'm going to have faith in God constantly. I'm not going to doubt. I don't see it, but I'm not going to doubt. Surely, God, me? Me? What did Moses say? I stutter. I can't play this complete sentence. Yeah, but I'm going to still use you. Have faith in God constantly. Don't doubt. And believes that what he says will take place. It will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Now, I need to qualify this. Don't go out of here and tell somebody I told you to go to the lottery tonight and buy you a ticket and say, I have faith that God's going to bless me with $175 million. But if that does work, I want my cut. I'm not talking to you to believe outside of God. What I'm saying is, see what God has for you, and then once you understand whatever that is, have faith in God constantly. Do not waver. Do not cease. Do not doubt. Do not. Stand with him, and it'll be granted to you. Now, notice it didn't say when. It didn't say you're going to wake up tomorrow and all your dreams are going to come true. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next month. Maybe not next year. Maybe you're going to have to go through some things. Because truth be told, sometimes we have to go through things in order to be prepared. Because if we got them, man, if I'd have had this type of success at 26 that I'm having at 56, I would have lost my daggum mind. I wouldn't know where. I was so immature. I was such a unintelligent human being. Because my faith wasn't in God, my faith was in me. I would have thought this was all about me. Psalm 16 and 8 says, I will not be shaken by what I see. The word of God has to be more real than your circumstances or your feelings. Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted by Satan. Now, in order for him to be tempted, whatever Satan is offering him has to be available to him to offer. It ain't a temptation if, Steph, if I come up to you right now and I say, Steph, you want this Twinkie? It's not really a temptation because I don't have a Twinkie in my hand, do I? So in order for God, for Jesus to be tempted, Satan had to have the ability to give him what he was offering. But what Jesus did is what you and I need to do. Thus saith the Lord. If you're doubting, find out what God says about your given circumstance. Get you some scriptures. Put them in your phone. Go old school. Put them on an index card. Read a paper book. Ooh, what a concept. I'm sorry. I'm the king of the Google. The Google says, what scripture am I looking for? I know the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. What does the Google say? However you need to get it. And then remember what the word says and keep confessing what the word says over your situation. Find out what the Bible says about your given situation and speak it with boldness, because our enemy cannot defeat the word. God is already, as we said in Jeremiah 29:11, he's already designed a victorious life for us. There will be storms, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be sadness. You will cry. You will cry. I cried the other day because I couldn't believe what a great wife I have. So it didn't always have to be tears of sadness. It could be tears of joy. Can't believe what great kids I have. I can't believe my coworkers at my job. They take care of me. They make sure that if I need something from the break room, they will not let me go get it. They will go get it. If I need lunch, they will go out and get it for me. I can't believe how God has blessed me to have people around me. But no matter what you're going through, you will come out on the other side. Just remember, you need to believe. You need to speak the word and then go forth. Young people, you will go forth. You will have a successful rest of the year, no matter what it was like before. Although I'm believing that it was good before, but even now, even though if it wasn't good before, I'm believing for the rest of the year, it's going to be great. I'm believing only A's. Only A's. I'm believing only hundreds. I'm believing if you're one of those people who are, test challenged, I'm believing your teacher is going to be like, what happened to you? G-O-D happened to me. I'm an honest student. Every semester I'm an honest student. And you know what? Not only am I an honest student, I'm tutoring other kids. I'm tutoring my brother and my sister. Again, believe, speak, go. Amen? Okay, Pastor Tito, you want to roll up here, sir? I said at the beginning that we were made in the image and likeness of God. That's a free gift. But in order to receive that gift, you have to do something. It's not difficult, it's not hard. The Bible says, in order to receive the salvation of the Lord, that salvation is the fact that Jesus stepped out of heaven, came down on earth in human form, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for my sins and yours, and then got up on the third day to defeat sin, hell, and the grave. And he offers the free gift of eternal salvation to you. And all you have to do is confess it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. I mean, that's what it's all about. All of us in here who have the gift of salvation, we have had to make that confession. I know all of us in here, but we never want to miss an opportunity that maybe you've been kind of just, I want to raise my hand, but I'm not sure. I don't want people looking at me. So every eye closed, every head bowed. Nobody's looking but me. I promise your secret's safe with me. I will not call you out. If you would like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. We're all in the house, even our little ones. Amen. Now, if you say, Pastor, you know, this really hit home with me. I haven't been speaking quite the way I needed to be. My belief system has been a little bit off. I've allowed my circumstances to kind of twist me sideways. I need to get back on the believe, speak, and go route. If that's you, raise your hand. Amen. You can put those hands down. I see that. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for a word in due season and in due time. Father, I just pray that your anointing falls on each person who raised their hands, that it falls over and flows over them from the top of the head to the soles of their feet. Every young person, every old person, every person in between, Father God, every seasoned person, every new person, Father God, that you just flow and just rise up in their belly, living water. And Father God, no more will they speak fear. No more will they confess doubt. No more will they speak down over themselves. No more will they confess anything better than they are made in your likeness and in your image, and that you call them blessed. Father, as they walk out of here tonight, Father God, they are renewed, refreshed, restored, on fire, bold like never before. Father, as our young people go into school tomorrow, Father, even though they may not utter a word out of their mouth, I'm believing the young people and teachers and school officials are going to see them in a new light. They're going to see something different. They're going to see something change. It is not by chance and it's not by coincidence they were in here with us tonight. And I'm for their parents and again, for our seasoned folks, Father God, I'm believing that as we go out of here tonight, Father God, we're going to be better fathers and better mothers and better husbands and wives and better employees, Father God. Father, we're going to shine for you wherever we go, whether we go to the fields or whether we go to the valleys, whether we go to the stores, our job, wherever it is that you would have us go, we will represent you and represent you well. Father, again, we lift up Pastor Tori and Pastor Rita, Father God. We're believing that they're having a great time. Even as we speak, Father, we pray that they come home refreshed, restored, and renewed, Father God. Father, we just thank you, and we praise you in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord praise.